Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great love. We thank you that it is the only hope for all the world. And we thank you for the dedication of these four that have stepped forward, that give us reminder and remembrance of our dedication and commitment to you. We pray today that you would continue to instruct us in your word. Help us to love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Yeah. This morning, if you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 100, we're going to be looking at that this morning. And I've entitled the message here this morning, A Shout of Joy, Joyful Thankfulness. This weekend, we celebrate Thanksgiving. It was back in the 1800s, actually, that Thanksgiving actually came to the fore. But it wasn't until 1957 that our own government established it as a statutory holiday. And so here we are on this Sunday to remember thankfulness, so many great blessings that God has given to us. One of those great blessings, of course, is God himself in giving us his Son, Jesus Christ. And also we think of also all the harvest that have come in all over this country and around the world. Actually, harvest festivals are part and parcel of Thanksgiving. And not only in our own country do we celebrate harvest festivals, but also in various countries around the world. And as we heard our brothers and sisters here this morning as they gave testimony in their tank, that they come from China. And China has their own autumn festival. And every year I'm always happy to eat a mooncake in celebration of that autumn festival. And here we are today, and we're probably some of you might be cooking birds or ham or some other fare, inviting friends or family over to rejoice with them in thankfulness of what God has blessed you with specifically, and your family, and your larger church family as well. Well, let's look at this Psalm 100 this morning, and I would read that for you. It says, "There shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His love through all generations." The demand of thanksgiving is seen here in verses 1 and 2 and verse 4. So what of this demand that we give praise and give thanks and shout for joy in celebration? Kind of all very emotive, emotional words, feeling kind of words. Feelings are a big part of what we see as things that guide us in today's culture. Are feelings something that can be demanded, though, as in shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, and worship the Lord with gladness? Maybe you come this morning and you say, well, I'm not quite there. All this hoopla about thanksgiving and gladness and joy, maybe I'm just not feeling it this year. Maybe that's where you're at. We have to ask ourselves, should feelings be a valid guide for us and way of what we do and what's demanded here of us in this psalm? Some people, if they feel good about something, regardless of whether they're guided by or done much research in the matter, I say, well, it's my gut feelings that matter, and I believe it to be real and true and have veracity, so I am going to follow that. Feelings are often a guide above the facts today. If I'm emotionally moved, then why not? When a preacher proclaims or a vibrant worship song is being sung, I guess I'm running low here on battery. When the worship songs are sung and we feel vibrant, we feel touched, then for sure we will engage with what we're doing and how we are to participate. But if not, then we step back and wonder whether we should really involve ourselves in the singing or the words that we're speaking. Now, this is not to say there's no merit in our feelings. There is some merit, but should they actually be our guide? How are feelings seen outside of religion? All of us know instances of feelings that have led to some serious mistakes, not only in our personal lives, but in lives of others. In math and science, it doesn't matter how good you feel about the answer might be totally wrong. It's not a matter of your feelings when it comes to math and science. But in the arts, subjective feelings have more weight. We look at movies and books and other literature, and feelings are urged upon us, and we're told to follow our hearts. And who can deny that romance has a big part to do with feelings? When the guy leans over and whispers in your ear, "Honey, I love you." There's a feeling that wells up within you. And so feelings are a big part of that. Star Wars characters advise protégés, reach out with your feelings, young Obi-Wan. Gripping entertainment. But in real life, many have lived to regret trusting in their feelings. Feelings even of the heart can lead us down the garden path and into a whole lot of hurt in our lives. The heart is often seen as the seat of our feelings and our emotions. Jeremiah 17:9 says this. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it?" Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." So what are we to do with our feelings? What guide can lead us aright? Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith does not come from our feelings nor from praying for an emotional experience. I've often heard the excuse, "Well, I'm just not feeling it today. I'm just not feeling it," when it specifically comes to maybe worship or obedience to God's word. Jesus didn't complain about much, but he did complain about people being ambivalent according to their feelings. We read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 16 to 24, about how he said to those that were there gathered that you don't dance when I play the flute and you don't mourn when I play the dirge. He's saying whether it's the heights or the lows, the big experiences or the lows experience, you use that kind of as an excuse and you don't engage. You sit back as a child and say, "I'm not going to follow that because I'm not feeling it." And Jesus said, you know, this generation is based and bases its guidance upon its feeling. But is that the right way to go in way of dealing with our fickle feelings? When people say, "I just don't get anything out of the worship this morning," they've probably missed the whole purpose of the worship service, which is not to get something out of it or get emotionally moved, but it's rather to worship God, to declare Him as great in our lives, and to participate not so much in the feeling aspect of it, but to honor the living and the Almighty God. When we don't feel like worshiping or praising and shouting for joy, we ought to take ourselves in hand and review the question of why we actually came to this place and sought to worship God. In our text this morning, there is reason given to the demand to sing joyfully, shout joyfully. The rationale for the act of celebration is given in chiastic form in verse 3 and verse 5. So first of all, in verse 1 and 2, there's the emotional response. In verse 3, there's the reason behind that emotional response, as in verse 5. So in verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Verse 5, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." All generations. The rationale of why we should exude these feelings of joy and celebration. The psalmist doesn't leave the worshiper without rationale. If we falter in believing God is good, then all is lost. And isn't this the very temptation that the snake gave Eve in the garden, was to believe that God was holding something back from her? Something good, a fruit that was able to establish for her the knowledge of good and evil. And besides, it looked so tempting and delicious there hanging on the branch. She reached out and grabbed it to possess it. When we believe that God is not good and that He holds out on us and wants to cause us pain and aggravate us in our lives, we are all but lost in knowing really the goodness and the reality of God's love for us in our lives. We are herein today called to celebrate in thankfulness, for God's grace and abounding mercy is upon us. Dwelling on God's blessings, our feelings should likewise then be a fountain of joy and celebration unto Him. Exploding in thanks for Jesus who gave Himself to us. And today we mark that by the celebration of communion. Each one of us takes of the communion elements, and I'm going to welcome our ushers to come up to serve this morning. As we take these communion elements this morning, we take them in hand and remember the love of God, the grace of God. Come on down. Yeah, you, the ushers. Sometimes you need to invite people twice, right? When we take these elements in our hands this morning, we remember God's love and His grace and His faithfulness to us, giving us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon a cross for us who were rebels, sinners. But now we desire to know this God. We desire to know this God that has loved us and gave His Son for us. We celebrate this morning by taking these communion elements. We take of the cup in remembrance of His blood shed for our sins, and the bread remarking His broken body for our sins again. Not that we could live enough righteously before a holy God, but only as we have a substitute in Jesus Christ. As we take Him as our Savior and as our Lord, we indeed have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We give testimony to that, each individual that takes of this cup and this bread. So if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning, we ask you to kindly just pass the cup on to the person next to you. The Scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 11 that if we take of the cup and the bread in an unworthy manner, we drink and eat judgment upon ourselves. So we ought to do it aright, reminding ourselves, remembering His great love and His sacrifice to us and for us this morning. So again, we take of the bread, and I'd ask you to hold on to the elements as they're passed to you. So at a point when all have received, we will then partake together. Shall we stand together? Jesus on that night took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you." Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this reminder of your broken body for us. Amen. Please be seated. All right, we're going to make our way through this. Let's stand together. Jesus on that night took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Take you all of it." Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great love for us and your amazing sacrifice. And we thank you for the blood that cleanses us, makes us as white as snow before you. Amen. Please be seated.
Please remain standing.
Oh.
Sorry. Let's give thanks to him today. Just lift up your hearts and thank him for all the good times and all the bad times that we have. He's with us through it all.
To God for my Redeemer, thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times, but now a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side.
To take up a special offering. This offering is going towards the Jeffrey project. So if you have an envelope, that's good. You can write Jeffrey on there. We're going to be passing the offering bags this morning as an opportunity for you. If you don't have an offering envelope, you can just put the money in the offering bag. And that money will go directly towards our Global Advance Fund, which is going today to specifically help those that are without the gospel. We heard about three tribal groups in our world today that are needing the gospel presentation. And so the Jeffrey offering is to go towards that. So I'm going to call our ushers down to the front with the offering bags this morning. And they'll be passing those along to you. And remember, everything that goes in the bag that's loose, without anything on the envelope, will go towards the Jeffrey Fund. If you want to give towards the regular givings of the church, you can put the money in the offering boxes at the back. So as we take up this offering, let's do it with a thankful, joyful heart to the Lord this morning.
Worship His holy name.
offering is still being taken up in the balcony, that's okay. You guys can continue to pass the bag. But I'm going to be praying for the offering now, and then we're going to commit ourselves to these new members of our church today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the giving of your people towards the needs of our world. We thank you and we pray that you'll use this Jaffrey offering to be a ministry to so many people that have never heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for these tribes as they're scattered in mostly Africa and the Middle East. We pray for them that you would open their hearts to your love and to your grace this morning. Through these offerings, we pray that missionaries will be sent and the gospel will be proclaimed. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to call forth our elders, our pastors, and our deacons to come up to the front. This is always a very special time in our church as we welcome new people into membership in our church. And we have their certificates here that include not only a baptismal certificate, but also a membership certificate and a small gift. So we're going to be welcoming them into membership. Membership is a big part of what it means to be a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance denomination. And so today, we're not only welcoming them into membership, but we're also committing to them and them to us. So it's a mutual kind of thing that happens here when we take out membership. And so today, we want to pray for these ones that are taking out membership, and we want to pray for ourselves that we will be joined with them in membership and celebration, and also in committing to them in way of helping them grow in their Christian lives. And we all need that. We need the family of God to continue to nurture us. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you and ask again that you would bless these ones that are here in baptized today and here take out membership at Westwood Alliance Church. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to work in them as they've sought to desire after you, Lord. May you fulfill within them the desires of their heart to serve you with all that they are, to give their lives faithfully to you. And Lord Jesus, as your church, as members of your church, we commit ourselves to them today. We pray that you would give us strength to love on them and to care for them and to nurture them. We pray today, Lord Jesus, that as a church family, we would commit ourselves to your great mission to take the gospel around the world. And Lord, in small kind, we've done that by our offering. And we know that across this world, people in all kinds of Alliance churches, especially here in Canada, are committing themselves through this Jaffrey offering, but other kinds of offerings that are taken in Alliance churches to see people reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you love us and gave yourself for us. Thank you, Lord, for this celebration of Thanksgiving that we have today and the welcoming into membership that we have with these ones in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So first up, we have David. David, congratulations. Sarah, congratulations. Helen, congratulations. Anna, congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's extend the right hand of fellowship. Welcome them in. Let's stand together. I'm sure you'll want to welcome these ones during our fellowship time afterwards. We do have a time in our conference or our connections room where you can have some coffee and some time together with them and to congratulate them and welcome them. And also we have a board there that my wife has put together It's for you to write a note of thanksgiving and post it on there for others to see. Just what you are thankful for today. So would you participate in that? We also have a Sunday school class that will be happening afterwards. You're welcome to attend that. Also, we have Operation Christmas Child that has begun. If you've never heard of that, it's a ministry of Samaritan's Purse, and it involves a shoebox. And you collect up some gifts and some small trinkets for children that are around our world, and that gets shipped off to them. And you put a $7 check or money in that in an envelope and put that in the box, and you get that, bring that back to the church from November 14th to, or 13th is the last Sunday, November 13th. And we collect those boxes up and then we ship them out. So it's a great opportunity to minister to people all around the world. Also, you'll note in your bulletins that there's quite a few different announcements there. I want to thank you for all those that are involved with taking on an international student through Bert and Heather's ministry and others' ministries that go out to the universities. Thank you for taking on an international student if you've done that. If you've not done that, maybe next year, or maybe you take another opportunity. I'm sure Bert and Heather would more than welcome you to come up and say, can I have a name of a student that I can invite for dinner? I'm sure, where's Heather? Connections room, okay. She'd be more than welcoming you to tell you what you can do in way of connecting with an international student. Let's bow our heads as we commit ourselves to the Lord again. Lord Jesus, thank you for this Thanksgiving that we've had. Thank you for the rejoicing that we've had in these four that have been baptized and have committed themselves to membership. And now I say the benediction, the Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you.